Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The topic for this week is Gnosticism, the ancient heresy that plagued the early church. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which is the word for knowledge. The Gnostics were those who considered themselves the knowing ones. And there are many verses in the New Testament that are written to refute Gnosticism. You know, most Christians, not knowing about the false teaching of Gnosticism, miss much of the point in those texts. Verses such as 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Gnosis. What's Paul referring to? Well, generally speaking, every false ideology claims to have a special knowledge. All of the philosophers then and now make the claim that they can explain all of our questions or answer all of our questions. You know, how do we get here? Where are we going? And, you know, these knowledge claims will most often contradict biblical truth. Hence, in 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul calls them opposing arguments. And that's the Greek word antithesis. We pronounce it antithesis, meaning to be what is against what is in place. So 1 Timothy 6:20 can read, avoid worldly and empty chatter, which is kenophonia, vain speech, bunch of wind. And the antithesis, the opposing of what is in place, by that which is falsely called gnosis. And although all false teaching can be in view there, there was a specific cult in the days of the early church called Gnosticism. As the gospel went forth, the enemy sowed false seeds, the anti-gospel. The Gnostics borrowed elements of Christianity and combined them with the intellectual theories of Greek philosophy, certain bizarre elements of Greek philosophy, which is what intellectuals are always prone to do. In 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 3, they do not deal specifically with Gnosticism, but the error of people being infatuated with the intellectual philosophies of the day. 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And this is a consummate problem in the church. Young people go off to college. They get all impressed with the teachings of psychology, the social sciences, marketing, because they don't know or they don't understand the deeper knowledge contained within Scripture, a wisdom that refutes the hasty, foolish conclusions of the intellectuals. 1 Corinthians 2:6, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But that's a whole other subject. Gnosticism is just one branch of ancient religious philosophy, and it quickly attached itself to Christianity. This is one of the devil's greatest tactics. Attach some error to the truth. Christianity was becoming popular among the people. And so these false teachers jumped on the Christianity bandwagon. They defined Christ as being one of them, and they redefined Christ's teaching in accordance with Gnostic teaching, telling disciples that they, the Gnostics, could explain further what the Bible is really teaching. And those individuals who identified with the church for various reasons, but were not truly born again, would be prime targets for the Gnostics. I mean, the cults always sweep out of the church the unconverted religious. Notice this quote from the unbeliever John Lennon, who was raised an Anglican. Quote, "It seems to me that the only true Christians were the Gnostics, who believed in self-knowledge, i.e., becoming Christ themselves, reaching the Christ within. The light is the truth. Turn on the light, all the better to see you with my dear. So notice how John Lennon knows about and immediately identifies with Gnosticism. I mean, this is the natural proclivity of the fallen, unsaved mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. They walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, because excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So in the New Testament, there are many warnings against false teachers. Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Paul writes, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Also 2 Peter chapter 2, but false prophets also arose among the people, referring back to the Old Testament. Just as there will also be false teachers among you, now that you're in the New Testament, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Now, those texts do not reference Gnosticism directly. They're addressing all false teaching. But Paul's letter to the Colossians appears to address specifically the false teaching of Gnosticism. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, that Christ made all things and that he was before all things. The Gnostics taught that the evil demiurge created the world, not Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in Christ are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, not in the Gnostics. Verse 4, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. Well, who would be bringing these deluding persuasive arguments? The Gnostics. Colossians 2, 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Well, the Gnostics taught that Christ was a created eon, not the fullness of deity. So in Colossians 2, 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And these false teachers would have been the Gnostics. The other New Testament book that appears to be addressing the false teaching of Gnosticism is 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. And we might think of the Jews who didn't accept Jesus as Messiah, but this verse and many others in 1 John are directly refuting the teachings of Gnosticism. The Gnostics pitted Jesus against God the Father. Where God the Father was the evil God of the Old Testament, but Jesus was the good God. But the apostle writes, the one who confesses the Son is also confessing allegiance to the Father. In John chapter 1, John writes, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, who would be saying that? The Gnostics claimed that it's perfectly acceptable for Christians to practice immorality. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, we read, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it's coming and is now already in the world. The Gnostics taught a dualism, that the spiritual was good, but the material world was evil. Therefore, the good emanation called Jesus could never have taken a human body, could never have come in the flesh. He was just a phantom. So when the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, "These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you," every Bible scholar and every Bible student understands that John was addressing the false teachings of the Gnostics. Remember, tradition has it that John was the longest living apostle. He was writing the book of the Revelation as an old man in about AD 90. And by the latter half of the first century, Gnosticism was the error infecting the church. And God actually used the error of Gnosticism, which is prototypical of all errors to come, to be the occasion by which the New Testament writers would clarify the truth. We often see the truth more clearly when it's set against the antithesis to the truth. Gnosticism is timeless false teaching. Now, as far as the specifics of Gnosticism, the early church father, Irenaeus, who lived in the second century in southern France, wrote a defense of the Christian faith called Against Heresies. And in his first chapter, he explained thoroughly the teaching of Gnosticism and the leading Gnostics of the day. But let me again emphasize that even though there is this specific error, this cult called Gnosticism, there is a little Gnosticism in every false teaching. There's Gnosticism in liberalism. There's Gnosticism in New Age, in Jehovah's Witnesses, in Mormonism, in Christian Science. And when we boil it all down, there are only two religions in the world: God versus Satan, Christianity versus paganism, or theism versus humanism. There are various mixtures and degrees of potency, but in the end, there are really only two positions. You're either on God's side or you're on the side of Satan. You're either following God's doctrine or the doctrine of Lucifer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, "The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they actually sacrifice to demons." And I believe as we enter the end of this age, the line is going to be drawn more clearly in the sand. The unity of all false religions and secularism will be made clear. The satanic doctrine, the antithesis of Christianity, will become more defined and promulgated, and the stand for Christ will become more decisive and clear-cut. Gnosticism, in its teaching, is the crack cocaine of false religion, because it's more bold in voicing the satanic teaching about God and man and salvation. Gnosticism came out more directly explaining what Lucifer believes, that you're your own God and that the God of the Bible is the evil God. Now, the reason I'm addressing this ancient religion of Gnosticism is because Gnosticism is being revived in our day. Just as we would expect would happen as our nation departs from God, and as it appears that we're entering into last days, Gnosticism today uses slightly different language, but it's still the same old lie. And wokeism today is actually the ancient religion of Gnosticism. The Gnostics preached that there was an esoteric, special knowledge people needed to come to about oppression in the universe. And that is the teaching today of social Marxism, CRT, and wokeism. So if we understand the ancient demonic ideology of Gnosticism, we will so much better understand the foundational ideology of postmodernism. The same prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, is telling the same lie today that he told in the first century and that he told to Eve in the garden. That Jehovah God is trying to keep you down. He is trying to keep you from knowledge, gnosis, because he doesn't want you to advance and become like him. The only way to freedom and advancement is therefore to break away from this God. The Gnostics believed that the confines of the material world were oppressive. The morals, the laws of nature, were all evil constructs. And that freedom comes about by living according to one's own self-defined nature. Does that sound familiar? Well, that's critical theory. That's transgenderism philosophy today. That's wokeism, where one must become awakened to see that all of the morals and the principles of natural law, the law of nature and nature's God, are evil and must be overthrown. And I'm certainly not the only one who sees this. Here's an article from The Federalist entitled "Gnostic Mysticism Grounds Modern Progressive Ideology." And this article, "Why the Word Woke Encapsulates an Evil Self-Defeating Ideology." And these articles are by Peter Berfeld, a pastor in Southern Michigan who has written a book about the modern application of Gnosticism called "Gnostic America, A Reading of Contemporary American Culture and Religion According to Christianity's Oldest Heresy." Quote, "When I first saw the word woke in connection to a leftist cause, I had that panicky sensation of the madman in the wilderness who has been screaming about an oncoming danger nobody wants to hear about, but finally has the first sign to prove what he's been saying. There it is. That's the Gnosticism I've been talking about, being woke. For several years now, I've been warning about the rise of Gnosticism in America. Much of my argument is subtle and calls for an in-depth understanding of traditional Christian theological categories and a careful reading of the American culture. This woke language is like the first hint of the wizard's blatantly revealing himself, the first sign of the iceberg, and it is Gnosticism, classic Gnosticism, that will make sense once you read on and in the process discover how wrong and dangerous this philosophy is, as well as its practical effects. Here's how it works." And then Berfeld goes on to explain the mind of the Gnostics, which is the mind of modern humanism and wokeism, which is the mind of Satan and all humanity in opposition to God. So what I'd like to do in the time I have left is to briefly explain the doctrine of Gnosticism. Why do we need to know this? 2 Corinthians 2:11, "So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes." And 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and pure devotion to Christ." So the Christian needs to understand the nature of this moral battle between God and Satan, the argument, or rather the lies of Satan, so that we can explain to the unsaved the decision they have to make in choosing Christ, the decision for salvation. So first, the cosmology of Gnosticism, which is the doctrine of origins. There are certain variations in the various schools of Gnosticism, but they all have the same basic premise, that the pure God existed, and his thoughts were emanations that created eons. And these eons were little gods, created beings. And one of these eons, called Sophia, brought forth a being without the permission of the other eons. And this being that she created was a malevolent, deformed God. And this being is the God who created the world, called Jehovah God. He created the material world, which is evil and constraining. And he is called the Demiurge. In Greek Platonic philosophy, this is the title for the one who makes the world. Demi being a person, and ergos being to make, and so Demiurge, the person who creates. Mankind was then created by this demiurge, Jehovah God, but somehow with the help of the other eons, so that mankind wasn't completely evil. The other eons wanted to save mankind from Jehovah God. And so a certain eon, another emanation from the pure God, came to Eve in the garden and told her the truth, that she needed to free herself from Jehovah God. And so Satan, the devil of old, is considered the good guy in the story. Satan wanted to save mankind from the oppression of God. Because as we read in Genesis 3, Satan informed Eve that this creator God, Jehovah, doesn't want you to have knowledge. And he doesn't want Eve to become like God, like him. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So how can this deception, this lie, be incorporated into the faith of early Christians? Well, the Gnostics were telling Christians that this explains the actions of the God of the Old Testament. He was full of vengeance and wrath against the natural proclivities of mankind. He destroyed the world in a flood. He sent down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the Canaanites. So what a terrible God is this for punishing people who are simply enticed by the physical world that he created. And these Gnostics told early Christians that Jesus came to save us from the wrathful God of the Old Testament. The Gnostics would make a separation between the nature of Jesus and the nature of God the Father. Hence, the Apostle John would write against those who separated Jesus from the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, whoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As Jesus himself taught in the Gospels, John chapter 5, verse 23, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father, he who does not honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. The Gnostics would deny those texts. Now, in modern leftism, the exact same thing is occurring. Jesus is being defined as accepting everyone for who they are. Jesus is the God of love. Jesus therefore taught an antinomianism that overturns the law of God, and that Jesus was the opposite of the wrathful God in the Old Testament that judged sin. All of the LGBTQ crowd embraces Jesus and claims that the Christians are misinterpreting the true Jesus. Wokeism teaches a liberation theology, that Jesus is the liberator of the oppressed, not particularly liberation from sin, but the oppression of traditional moral constructs, the constructs of family and gender, which are alleged to be made up by the powerful to oppress others, even made up by this lesser God demiurge. Modern wokeism, in its oppression narrative, is the ancient demonic religion of Gnosticism. It's a revival of the doctrine of demons. And notice that this Gnostic cosmology is exactly what we'd expect Lucifer to claim in his rebellion against God. There was certainly an argument that Satan used to convince the angels, a third of the angels, to rebel with him. There are doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy 4. And the argument was likely that Jehovah God, being the creator, doesn't give him the right to rule over the created beings, even if they did emanate from him. The argument is that these other beings should now be autonomous. And who's to really say that this creator God, Jehovah, is the only one? Oh, I mean, sure, in Isaiah chapter 45, God says 5 times, I am the only one, I'm the only Savior. But isn't that exactly what an evil demiurge would claim. And who's really to say for sure that this Jehovah God always existed? Maybe he was also created. Maybe he also evolved. Now, all this sounds wild, but we must understand and think through the core arguments of Satan, because this is what mankind is coming to agree with, along with the demons. The Christian followers of Jehovah God, we make a completely different confession. We believe that Jehovah God is the righteous one, that he's the truth, and that it's right for him to create laws that constrain his creation for our good. Now, all of these basic tenets need to be explained in our witness to this generation. People need to know the choice they're making, and that's why I'm doing this program on Gnosticism. Because what I see happening in this world right now is that the unsaved are actually becoming woke or awakened to the doctrine of Lucifer. And since the teaching agrees with their autonomy and their lusts, people are beginning to say, hey, I really like this Satan guy. He's my guy. He makes sense. I think I'm going to be on his side. And so I suspect that in the end of this age, the whole world will blatantly follow the antithesis, the Antichrist. The second doctrine of Gnosticism to consider is the source of their revelation or authority, their doctrine of inspiration. How do they know what they teach is the truth? And the source of truth, of course, is not the Bible, but knowledge of the transcendent is arrived at by interior intuitive means. Gnosticism stresses that knowledge is arrived by inner knowledge, the light within you. That all sounds very philosophical, but it simply is what most people on the streets believe. That their own opinions, their own thoughts, their own experiences are the source of truth. So that people will say, well, I think so-and-so, and they'll go off and explain how they think morals and the world ought to work. Again, this is what Paul is referring to in 1 Timothy 6:20, what is falsely called gnosis. The authority, the source of knowledge, is not God's word, but oneself. What one imagines the truth to be is the truth. Now, unbelievers and liberalism have been saying this for centuries, but Gnostics come right out and admit it. You know, at least in classic liberalism, they would say that there is a law of nature and nature's God, even though they would discount the Bible. But Gnosticism now comes right out and says that the truth is your own conscience, whatever you want the truth to be, whatever you can perceive. It's the light within you rather than the light being external to you, the Word of God. Here's an article from the Gospel Coalition that explains this further. The article is entitled, "The Ancient Heresy Driving Modern Identity." And the author explains that ancient Gnosticism has surged to become the controlling myth of our age. Because in the Gnostic worldview, the material world and its distinctions and natural laws are essentially evil. What you choose inside yourself is the true reality. Quote, for example, the difference between male and female, or the notion of there being natural order to human sexual relations, are at best an illusion, or at worst, corrupt deceptions. All that belongs to our outer world of society and religion, indeed the outer world of your own body, is irrelevant and deceptive. And that is wokeism. That is transgenderism. That the human body can be a mistake. That you can choose your own gender in your mind. In fact, you can choose multiple genders. Realize that the lust of the flesh is driving this. But there's a whole philosophy created to justify the lust of the flesh and people's autonomy from God. And that is Gnosticism, modern Gnosticism, wokeism. Now, it's not as if the Gnostics did not have written scripture or doctrine. You know, the irony is that the Gnostics said that truth comes from within yourself, but of course it must align with the writings and the teachings of the Gnostics. The Gnostics were big on writing because they were the intellectuals of the day, and they wrote many false gospels, claiming to be inspired. Because few of these writings remained, the church was pretty much dependent upon the writings of Irenaeus to record what was in these false books. But then in 1945, many Gnostic manuscripts were found in Egypt, in Nag Hammadi, and these came to be known as the Nag Hammadi. And they contained, you know, the prayers of the Apostle Paul, the Gospel of Truth, the Apocryphon of James, the Gospel of Philip, the Book of Thomas, the Sophia of Jesus Christ, the Great Spirit of Jesus Christ, the concept of our great power, etc. The Gospel of Judas, which Irenaeus referenced as a heretical Gnostic book, was found in another place in the 1970s. And the first translation was released to the public in about 2006. And you may have remembered that at that time, all the critics loved the Book of Judas, claiming that the gospel has been proven false. The four gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That the real story of Jesus is now revealed. And in the Gospel of Judas, Judas is depicted as the only one of the disciples that really understood Jesus. And Jesus shared with Judas special gnosis. The Gospel of Judas has Jesus saying to Judas, "You will exceed all of them." In other words, you are to be the best disciple. "For you will have sacrificed the man that dresses me." And that is a Gnostic teaching, that the material body is evil, and either Jesus did not take on a material body, or he borrowed the body of another man. And the physical body needed to be thrown off. Now, in reading the Gnostic Gospels, the Christian will come to appreciate biblical inspiration and how the early church easily discerned between what books actually belonged in the canon of Scripture and which books were false. The false writings clearly contradict the doctrinal whole of Scripture. The false writings were filled with all sorts of fanciful contemporary mythology. They didn't have the doctrinal, linguistic, moral integrity of Scripture. And they sounded more like chicken soup for the soul or the writings of Buddhism. The third and the final doctrine of Gnosticism to consider is their soteriology, their doctrine of salvation. That is, how are you saved? And for the Gnostics, it comes by enlightenment. Eve was saved by Satan in the garden because her eyes were opened. She was awakened to her oppression and awakened to her potential. As Paul's words in Ephesians 1:18 could be misinterpreted, "I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened." So in Gnosticism, the serpent was the savior. And is that not what the coming Antichrist will claim? That he's the Savior, that he's the Messiah. But how does that knowledge save? Because that knowledge makes you a good person. It makes you loving and accepting of everyone and accepting of their free will. And so when you die, the eons will receive you because you're going to be freed from this evil demiurge, Jehovah God. Free from all of the material and the moral constructs linked to this earthly existence. Wokeism today is making the same claim. Knowledge and acceptance of the oppression narrative will make you good. That will be your deliverance. This article I mentioned earlier in the Gospel Coalition by Akos Bailo, entitled The Ancient Heresies Driving Modern Identity, he goes on to do a great job explaining the tenets of ancient and modern Gnosticism, which is the promise of freedom. As in 2 Peter, these false teachers will promise you freedom even though they themselves are slaves of corruption. 2 Peter 2:19. So number one, in ancient Gnosticism and modern wokeism, freedom is found by escaping any natural order. These people and these demons hate the natural order because subconsciously they hate the creator. Number two, freedom is found by looking within, not by looking to God. In fact, to be free, one needs to free oneself from Jehovah God and attach themselves to the eons, to the demons. Number three, being a fulfilled human being means obeying your inner feelings. Number four, being human means creating your own identity, even if it means erasing the identity given to you in past years. Quote, in the past, your identity was based on several givens that you had little control over, like your sex, your family, your background, your race, your culture, your nationality. Your task was to make the most of what you had been given. But today, secular culture encourages people to discover their true identity within or create their own identity in any way they like. And so, where there's a conflict between your given external identity and your feelings, the modern approach says it's your external identity that's the problem and needs fixing rather than your feelings. And there is no better example of this than the transgender movement, unquote, Akos Bailo. So basically, Gnosticism is an I am God syndrome. Genesis 3:5, you will be like God. So let's be prepared. We will increasingly be hearing this false teaching. Our political leaders will increasingly be promoting lawlessness based upon Gnostic ideology. But the people of God, the redeemed, will be making a different confession, believing Jehovah, the great I am, the creator of all things. Isaiah 45:21. Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.